from the Elder.
Yeah?
He says to tell you to look for the morrow, for no man knoweth what it will bring.
Tell Elder Bluffield that I couldn't agree more.
The yellowish eyes were open wide, protruding from their sockets as though someone had pushed at them from inside the skull. The whites were suffused with blood. The mouth was wide open, the lips purplish and swollen, the tongue thrust far out, blackened and engorged. The front of the white trousers still showed the thrusting erection, the area around the groin moist and stained. The arms hung limply at the sides, though the palms were encrusted with dried blood, scarred with deep raw gouges from the fingernails. More dark crimson had seeped through the makeshift bandages around the severed fingers, dripping down to form a sticky, congealing pool. The feet just reached the floor, the bare toes scraping on the damp stone. The rope, made from plaited strips of torn blanket, was knotted so tightly around the neck that it had almost disappeared into the dark, swollen skin. Its other end was tied securely around one of the water pipes near the ceiling. One of the women found Bluffield's corpse when she went into the toilet room in the dark hours before the dawn. Surprisingly, she didn't scream, but her stifled gasp of horror and shock were sufficient to wake Ryan. He pushed the blanket from his chest and swung his legs over the side of the bunk. One of his boots clunked against the metal frame, pulling Kate from sleep.
What is it? Not more trouble, Ryan.
Could be the end of one of our troubles.
The member of Elder Bluffield's group that had performed last night's surgery was standing in the narrow doorway, looking around at the rows of sleepers.
Gone. Has he escaped?
In a way.
The Lord has taken the Elder to dine with him in the fields of Elysium.
Ryan walked quickly and glanced into the anteroom, shaking his head, rejoining Kate by her bunk before any of the others were out of their beds.
He hanged himself.
What?
By now, everyone wanted to go and view the body, but nobody was eager to go in and move it. One of the men banged his head against the wall of the hut until the iron frame rang like a gong.
Oh, why did you leave us, master?
Better shut him up or the segment will come in blasting.
But things were going from bad to worse, with the women tearing at their hair, down on their knees, eyes streaming with tears, the men staring in horror at the sagging body. Ryan had an inspiration.
He left a message with me.
Kate looked at Ryan, puzzled. One or two of the followers stopped and turned to face him, but the others carried on with their weeping and lamentation.
Elder Bluffield spoke to me and left a message for you all.
This time more of them heard, and they hushed and quieted the rest.
Why would the Elder speak to you, an outlander and an unbeliever?
Because I am an outlander and an unbeliever. That was why.
What?
Ryan held his hands up over his head, and what he profoundly hoped looked vaguely religious.
Last night, as he slept, the Elder had a wonderful dream, a true vision.
There was a collective drawing in of breath all around him.
He told me that meeting us and the small trouble between us had convinced God that...
Not the blessed Savior whose coming we wait?
What? No, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. He said that the Savior was in the vision as well. And that he'd been told we were sort of,
He struggled for the word. The man who'd been banging his head against the wall then spoke up.
A sign?
Right, brother, a sign. A sign that his labor here on Earth was done. His race run. God has called him to heaven to work for...
Again, Ryan hesitated, looking at the expectant faces all around him.
To work for the blessed second coming of the Savior.
Yeah, you got it. The biggest and best ace on the line, sister. That's what he's been called for. He told me all this himself, in the middle of the night.
And hanged himself without a farewell to any of us?
No. He told me to pass on this message, as his unworthy, messenger.
The oldest woman was on her knees again, her hands clasped.
And he has brought, as need arise, no soiled or tainted sacrifice.
Right.
What should we do, brother?
Elder Bluffield told me that you shouldn't mourn for him. That he has gone...
A phrase he'd heard from Doc Tanner came to Ryan.
He's gone to a far, far better place than he has ever known. And done a far, far better thing than he'd ever done before.
Oh, bless him and keep him safe in the bosom of Abraham.
Ryan looked at the man who'd spoken. wondering who this Abraham was, who had suddenly appeared in their prayers. The oldest of the women looked up from the floor at Ryan.
Should we seek a sign, Outlander?
A sign?
A raven with an ear of corn in its beak.
A flood of fire that passes by but scorcheth us not.
The mighty rushing wind that brings honey and locusts to feed us in the wilderness?
Ryan closed his eye for a moment.
No, he didn't say anything about that sort of a sign. Just to remember him, and keep your mouths closed when the Sekhmen come in here.
Oh, we will. We will.
Kate whispered to Ryan as the followers of the dead leader began to return to their own bunks.
Shouldn't we take him down?
Nah. It was hard enough getting the old bastard strung up there in the first place.
Eventually it passed off, without any trouble at all. When they were called out into the bitter grayness of the dawn, one of the older men in the shift reported to the sentry that one of their number had topped himself during the night. Get rid of it was the Sek guard's response. Not even bothered enough to go into the hut and investigate the corpse. The rest of them lined up for their bowl of gruel and hunk of bread, all shivering in the icy wind that came howling down the canyon.
It'll be a relief to get into the mines and out of this cold.
Zimyanyan stood on the balcony of his main control hut, looking through the smeared glass at the straggling lines of workers as they filed off toward their respective areas of the mine. He held the reports in his hand of the deaths during the night. There had been only three, one of which could have been natural causes. One was stabbed with a concealed knife, and the third was a suicide. He spoke to Sekhman Benson, who stood uneasily by the door.
Work Unit 25. That is the one that came together from the Middle West?
Believe so, Major Commissar.
A religious community, was it not? And you think the man dead was their leader?
I believe so, Major Commissar.
The Russian turned from the window, his deep-set eyes boring into the guard.
There is something happening here.
Happening, Major Commissar?
I can feel it in my bones. There is some rat boring away behind the wainscoting.
Lots of rats in the mines, Major Commissar.
Rats everywhere. I think that we will have a thorough check on our workers after this shift. I will personally examine their testimonials tonight. Man by man, face by face. Make it known.
Yes, Major Commissar, at once.
Zimyanyan watched him leave, then turned back to look out over the dull, wintry scene. His fingers stroked across his cheek, exploring the pitted pockmarks, brushing his luxuriant mustache. His hand dropped to the butt of the Makarov in his belt.
Rats.
Ryan heard the two guards talking as the line of workers filed their stumbling way through the yellow slime toward the top of the first ladder.
Ruski wants a big sec check tonight.
Fuck.
Doing it himself.
Fuck him.
Seems he wants to see every worker face-to-face sort of thing.
Fuck them.
If there was any more to the conversation, Ryan didn't catch it, intent on taking his turn on the slippery rungs, down into another fetid layer of darkness. On the next level, he pulled Kate toward him, glancing around to make sure none of the others on the shift were close enough to hear what he wanted to say to her.
Trouble.
What?
Heard Sekhmen talking up there. Said that Zimyanyan's gonna make a double special inspection. Sort of a parade.
When?
Tonight, at shift change.
You reckon he'll recognize you, Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll recognize me.
Could...
Why is he doing this?
Coincidence?
No such thing, Kate. If Zimyanyan orders a special check, just a day or so after I get here, then he feels something. A man like that. No. It's definitely not a coincidence.
I got a question, Ryan.
Sure, go ahead.
Your story about Bluffield coming to you before he got... before he hanged himself.
What about it?
They believed you.
Of course.
Why?
Because they wanted to believe me.
If he lined up in front of Zimyanyan, then he was dead. So they had to get away from their working party and make for another section of the sulfur mines, and either tag onto a different shift or simply try to vanish into the labyrinthine tunnels. Ryan and Kate dug and shoveled a little away from the rest of their group, giving them a chance to talk and plan. They were near one of the guttering lamps, so Kate tried to make out a plan of where she thought they were and how they might get away.
Here's the main entrance. Shaft 4 is about a quarter mile this way.
Where's the river we came down?
Here.
She used the point of the pick to scratch a snaking line.
And the huts are there?
Right.
Can we get from where we are now up this direction and then around the back?